Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have three beautiful women, Rika, Jessica, and Maria. And we are going to be talking about how to seek and find your self-worth. Have you ever felt undeserving or of good things going on in your life or of love, or maybe you're haunted by past decisions? And we've all struggled with this. We've all gone through this. We've all made bad decisions and regretted it. And these three women have gone through that. They've overcome things and they've kind of made it out on the other side. And I love these just women helping women segments, just lifting each other up, talking about how we've gone through our own difficulties and what we did to combat those difficulties when we were going through them. So without further ado, let's get right into it with our first guest, Rika. Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have several beautiful women that I'm going to be speaking to. And the first one is Rika Borez. Thank you for being here, Rika.
Thank you for having us.
I want to just say, I'm so impressed with you and the other ladies. All these women are such overcomers that I've talked to. And so I wanted to learn a little more about you because everything that you're doing, and you live in Canada, right?
Yep, we're in Canada.
You are in Canada and you have an amazing ministry out there. So just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what is it you're doing?
So particularly with talking to you, the venture that I'm a part of right now is a women's ministry called Beloved Daughters, and we started during the pandemic, actually. We didn't know it was going to be a pandemic, but we started in 2020, and we had our first conference lined up, and everything was a go, everything was green lights, and then it wasn't, and everything shut down, the world shut down, and so me and the other two ladies had to kind of ask ourselves, okay, what happened here? Is the Lord telling us to shut everything down, or is there still a purpose here? And so we were like, well, let's create an online platform and do a social media, do a website, and still be able to reach people in the community. We reached out to the movers and shakers of our Catholic community here in Alberta, Calgary particularly. There were so many women who were rich in their faith and had such great stories to share, and, you know, mothers, grandmothers who came before us that really made an impact on the Catholic community here. And so they became our contributors, and the contributors would write blogs about anything faith related, whether that's their favorite saint or their endeavors or their own vocation story.
Well, and everyone probably had a lot to say because they were all going through so much themselves with the pandemic and everything shutting down. It's like everyone had to almost take like the self-reflection and where they were at with God, because it was a scary time for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess just obviously looking back now that the website, because at the beginning of the pandemic, nobody really knew what was going on. And obviously, a lot of us did rely on social media and faith platforms, particularly to kind of help us through those lonely times. And I'm sure it was a great place for some of these women to just vent or to just write something while they were home with their families. And like I said, these women before us, you know, who are living their lives, living out their vocations, some of them were like, I've never written about me before. And we were like, that's exactly the point, is that we want other people to know that this is normal life and that you can live out your faith every day.
That's right. Were you always a cradle Catholic?
I was, yep. And I'm Filipino, so culturally Catholic for a really long time. And then I was in my... it was well past university that I actually started my reversion, my faith journey.
Let's talk about that. There really just seems this moment that you really have to embrace your own relationship with Jesus on a different level, on a deeper level, where it really becomes almost a lifestyle, and not because you're forced to or just because that's the way it is, but because you really love Jesus and you want a relationship with him, and you understand there really can be a relationship in your faith with God. And is that kind of what you're talking about? You just kind of went deeper in your faith?
I would say that the Lord has brought me to him through the opposite sex. I've always just been a girl who loved love, and I was very boy crazy. And I really feel like I faked it to make it until something changed. And I was always just faithful and knew the teachings of the church at bare minimum, I'd say. And it was really important to me, especially growing up, copying whatever my family had done. And I think that, like, Jesus moment happened when I was already married, actually. And I was like, I'm very close to guys. And it was this relationship that I had with a male. And it just went south. And no, there was no like unfaithfulness or anything like that, but I had no one to talk to about it. And so it was the first time that I like really brought something to prayer, something that really was paining me. And it was like so beautiful, because the first time I had walked into adoration and there was worship, and the song that played as I walked in was David Crowder's How He Loves Us. And the first lyric is, he is jealous for me. And I was like, who is jealous? And I was like, oh, like, it's God. Like, what is God jealous of, though? And so here I am crying about this friendship with this guy. And it just like, it pointed out that like, maybe I was putting something into somebody else that the Lord was asking from me, that he wanted me to pour out into him, like into God. And so it was the first time, right, that like I've met, like Christ met me. Of course, I went to adoration, but he met me and he said, yeah, like everything you're feeling about this friendship, I know it's frustrating for you, but I want to be that for you. And even in my own marriage, right, like recognizing that, yes, he is my spouse. However, even he will fall short. And when he does fall short, what then? Because we are human and we still have these wants, these needs, these desires. But yet the Lord reminds me, he's like, I'm enough. And that's kind of where things changed. It was this relationship now that was actually being formed between me and Christ. Now this is a faith journey now, because it's a conversation, it's a relationship, and it still is, right? Like, I am still very human, making my mistakes. I'm still very naturally selfish in my ways and still learning. But understanding that someone is out there who is constantly wanting me and fighting for me and for my good, you know, and surrounding me with all these good people to help me get there as well, it changes the game from, you know, cradle Catholic, pew sitting every Sunday to, okay, this is my own. I am convicted and I am wanting to authentically live this out.
Wow, that's beautiful. That is just beautiful. And so many women long and they desire that very thing of that relational, just kind of faith with Jesus, but they don't understand it and they don't even know how to cross over to that. Can you speak to women that maybe struggle with that? Because it's like they're almost on the cusp, but they just don't fully understand.
Yeah, the Lord is so gentle, right? It's just like, if you give him a little, he will do so much with that. And the graces will keep pouring if you are continually open to them. And that's the beauty of like having a relationship with our Lord is that it becomes this ongoing conversation. Sometimes you mess up, and it's not like a human friend who kind of points out your flaws and like, yeah, you kind of sucked there. But he's so ever gentle, especially when we're really prideful about something. He never points at us, and he never
ridicules.
He just does it in such a way, especially when it's that aha moment. You're just like, I'm so undeserving of that love. Wow, Lord, thank you so much. And so what prevents us kind of from even starting in that relationship? For me, it was this need for control, right? Like, I'm the eldest sibling, and I'm always the boss, and it's always my word. And even my temperament, I always have to have the last word. And the Lord knows this about me. However, he is walking with me and teaching me through other people's demeanors and temperaments that it's okay. You don't have to have this control, and you can let go, and you can trust in me, right? But it's our woundedness. It's how we grew up. It's how people responded to us, either out of love or out of hurt. And we're just constantly learning how to surrender. And I remember my very first surrender related to this particular relationship that was difficult for me that I was talking about was it just wasn't something that the Lord wanted me to carry in my vocation, right? Like, my focus was not right. And there's nothing wrong with being friends with men, but it was how I was going about it. And what the Lord revealed to me was like, this was why I was behaving like this in my younger years, in my teen years, and why my dependency on men was so important. And he just revealed this to my heart, and he said, like, you can let that go now, and you could be free of that. And so once I started to trust in him, I was able to let go of all of these, like, well, I'm just like this. This is how I am. Mm-hmm. And I've always been like this. I've always had guy friends, and I don't have girlfriends. And it's funny, and I've said this at some of our events before, is that, like, it's funny that I find myself in women's ministry, because growing up, I would avoid female relationships all the time. And now I'm, like, surrounding myself with all of these women.
You know, it's and interesting. I'm like, it's true. I get it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so, and the Lord is teaching me stuff in here too, right? He's just like pulling at me, he's stretching me, and I'm just like, why am I here? So I have beautiful friends, just like Maria and Jessica, who help reveal these beautiful things to me.
Do you think you have male relationships when you were kind of growing up and always had those guy friends because you needed... almost a part of that was a male affirmation that you were lacking somewhere in your life. And even though we needed it from Jesus, that ultimately is where we needed to go for that healing. But we were finding it in kind of the wrong places, or just in male relationships, trying to prove ourselves somehow.
For sure. Like, I'd say I love both my parents. I had a wonderful childhood. Like, there's nothing I can say bad about it. I'm spoiled rotten. And I always, like, gravitated towards my dad. So, like, everything my dad did, I wanted to be like him. He loved basketball. I loved basketball. And then if anyone was like, oh, you look like your mom, I'd be like, no, I look like my dad. And my poor mother, you know, she's so gentle-hearted that she probably was crying inside when every time I said that. But I think something... maybe there, right? Like, my dad is a man of few words, and it's getting better these days, just like as an adult talking to him, being able to converse. But yeah, for sure, I think it might have stemmed there, right? Like, this longing to be spoken to in a certain way, or a certain depth that maybe I wanted to hear from him. And then so I sought it from everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even the way that I view women, maybe that stems from my relationship from my mom as well, right? And how I just view women before.
Yeah, our parents lay down kind of that foundation, right, for us to a certain extent. But I really relate to what you're saying in regards to, like, just the whole men issue and finding that affirmation, because even just recently, and as much healing as I've had in my own life, right, I realize how much I truly was living out of this wound of not being enough. I was always just trying to measure up, prove myself, my worthiness, that I'm lovable, that I am worthy, that I'm enough. But it never quite, I never felt quite just enough, even since I was a child, because my dad left when I was so young and the things that happened to me. But at the same time, I don't think anyone on this planet could be enough or give me what I was seeking, because I have found that in Jesus now. And now it's like this like puzzle piece that fit where it's like, now I'm enough. So it's really interesting how the world and just what we're longing for, we're always drawn outside of ourselves. Evil wants to draw us out, but God keeps wanting us to come back in, and is always calling us in that small, still whisper, right?
I mean, it's our love story that we're building, and he will be as patient as he needs, and he will put things in our path to give us hints. And if you are kind of on the fence about really giving yourself over to Christ and surrendering your entire life to him, what do you have to lose? If you compare it to all of the things that you have already sought out in your life, for happiness, for wealth, for love, you have nothing to lose, because probably at this point, it's already failed you. And even like, I've yet to meet someone who was like, I did give it my all and I chose the world. Like, I've not heard anyone say that.
Oh my gosh, it's true. Oh my gosh, that's major. What you just said right now is so major. Like, I've not met or seen anyone that has said this was a total mistake. You're right.
Yeah. And I mean, like, listening to other Catholic speakers, like, a lot of them are challenging it, right? They're like, if anyone out there has found more of a truth than this, please come forward, because I'm interested. And this is where the conviction is. And the more you learn about the faith, the more you learn about the history and the traditions. Yes. Are we absolutely broken inside? Yes. But still, the Lord protects his church, the traditions. And the more you learn about it, you're not like, oh, I've made a mistake. It's like, oh, wow.
You want to go deeper.
I have struck gold.
Yes. You actually want to go deeper into it the more you learn and embrace it, right?
Absolutely.
I love it.
And then people look at you like, who are you? You're crazy. Like, people who knew you from before, they're like, you're not who you were. And I'm like, I know. I'm like, weird now.
They actually think that. They really think that. And to the world, to a certain extent, we are. It's very foreign. It's such a foreign way of thinking.
And it's different, right? Because once you're here, it's not like, oh, look at me, I'm here. It's like, oh no, the work begins. And it's like, we need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We need to be helping our friends discover this same truth, right? If I had like the youth serum for life, wouldn't I want to tell my friends? And yet, you know, even scripture tells us that we have to be very clever how we go about sharing the gospel. And that's the whole journey of it too, is being creative in our evangelization and in sharing the gospel in this day and age. And it's getting better. There's a lot of like Catholic influencers now. And just when our faith journey was starting, my husband and I, there was barely one podcast. And my husband to this day always reminds me of like, he had one place to go, one Catholic Answers, one Rosary Army, right? So
yes,
that's, we had nothing before. And we're so rich, even universally, seeing all the speakers coming out.
That's beautiful. I love the way that you just look at all of that as a whole, which is true. And a lot of people that are coming to their faith now don't even realize what they have, because we know what it's like to lack in a lot of that area, right? Mm-hmm. I love that you're so proactive in wanting to help other people and other women. And you're putting on this conference I'll be speaking at in the beginning of May, the first weekend in May in Calgary, Canada, I believe.
And Calgary.
I know, I always miss. I'm sorry, Canadians. I'm so sorry. I always get it wrong. But I am so excited. Whenever we say yes, it's never truly for ourselves and the graces God gives us, but it always seems to help and it's for other people too, right?
Yes.
So what you're doing out there, it's beautiful. I'm so excited to be a part of it. And I'm also excited to speak to the other women that I'm going to be interviewing in the rest of this hour, because you all have such deep faith and you have such a peace about you, even in your voice. And even times that I've talked to you and I'm just like chaotic and there's stuff going on or someone's like getting in a car accident or things are happening, you have always just been so calm and so still. I have to commend you. You could just tell, like, you just live in God's peace and it's just beautiful. I want to thank you for being here and your testimony and everything that you're doing to help women, and just know you will be in my prayers and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks so much.
Next, we have Jessica Bonaparte. Thank you for being here, Jessica.
Thank you for having me.
I just wanted to hear your story and where you've come from, and have you always been a cradle Catholic? And just to let my listeners just know your story. So have you always been a cradle Catholic?
Yes. Actually, I have. I was baptized as a baby, brought up Catholic, my mom's side of the family. We're all brought up Catholic. And so my mother sent me and my three other sisters through the Catholic school system here in Canada. Yeah, but it wasn't really until around the time of my confirmation where I really began digging deeper into my faith and questioning the reasons why it is that we practice what we do and why it is that we believe the things that we do.
How old were you?
So back then, confirmation was, I think, grade 6.
Wow. So what kind of questions did you have back then to kind of lead you into the path that you're at right now?
I think I've always struggled with disobeying the normal set of rules. I think just in the household that I was brought up in, we were kind of told to follow the rules and to ask questions later. And so the whole idea of questioning what I was being told to do didn't come natural to me. But I think it was around that same time during my confirmation prep classes. The prep classes were right before a Sunday evening mass at the church. And I think the church was trying to encourage the youth and their families to be able to stay back and attend mass together as a family. And so after my confirmation prep class, I would walk over to my grandmother's house, who lived close by the church, and together we would attend mass. And it was around that same time that we had a stretch of newly ordained priests present at the church, and they were just very vibrant and on fire for their faith. And in their homilies, they basically just said it how it was. They weren't afraid to express what it is that we believe as Catholics and why it is that we believe that and why it is we go about doing the things that we do. And it ignited something within me, a desire to also dig deeper as well, and not just to continue to follow, you know, these practices just because they appear to be the right thing to do, but because there is actually truth behind them, and not just truth, but there is a person. There is someone who is desiring to encounter me and engage in a relationship with me in a way that I hadn't ever really experienced before then.
So what was that like for you? Because when you have that encounter with Jesus, some people get scared and like shut down even sometimes, you know, I know. Yes. I did for a little bit. I'm like, wait, I don't think I could trust this kind of thing, you know? So how did you handle that?
No, it's an ongoing struggle for me, to be honest. It's not something that happened overnight or something that just a one-time event, but it's a continual encounter and re-encounter with our Lord. A little bit of backstory for me as well. I did grow up with a little bit of a difficult relationship with my own father. And so just looking back on my faith journey, I can see the ways in which areas of woundedness from my relationship with my own father impacted my relationship with allowing God to draw near and closer to me. And so there was a give and take. I feel like I would learn about, a bit about the faith, and I would draw closer to our Lord, but then an area of woundedness or an insecurity would arise, and I would close in on myself or push back. And so there was a bit of wrestling that still continues to this day. But I found that as I continue to get to know our Lord and draw closer to Him and open myself up to Him, that He can be trusted. The ways that my own father wasn't able to love me, God desires and has shown me that He wants to fill in those gaps. He wants to show me His steadfast love, and that His love can't be compared to my earthly father or to any other person, earthly person, but that His love is all-encompassing, and He's patient and willing to go at my pace while gently encouraging me to open myself up a little bit more and more as I draw closer to Him.
You know, it's really interesting, and as you're talking, and I'm realizing so much more as I talk with women, the father wound. I've even experienced that in my own life. And it really did take me a while to get past that father wound in order, or even that man wound, in order to even have that relationship with God the Father, or even with Jesus Himself, because of that male role that they take on almost in our lives, that relationship role. But it's so much more, and it far surpasses almost that basic earthly male role. Like, it really goes so much further than that in the spiritual, if we allow it to. But I think we get so stuck here with what has happened to us in this, like, in on earth and physically or mentally or emotionally, then when it comes to the spirit, we're so broken, we can't even cross over. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, I can totally relate to what you were saying. I think what really stood out to me along my faith journey, at one point I was discerning religious life, actually, and I attended a come and see retreat with the Sisters of Life. And at one portion of the event, each woman was allowed one-on-one time with the vocational director, where we kind of unpacked our faith journey, our life story, up until that point, including, you know, our family dynamics, just every aspect of our life, basically. And we were allowed to bring that to her and kind of share with her the ways in which we've seen God speak to us in and through these different aspects of our life. And I'll never forget, at one point, the vocational director, she told me that before I come to know Jesus as spouse, that one is called to come to know God as Father. And since then, it's been an ongoing journey for me of coming to know God as Father. Who is this Father that Jesus speaks of? Who is this Father that we are invited to come into a relationship with? And who am I? How does He see me? And why does He even want a relationship with me? And so that's just, yeah, it's been a wild adventure since then. But God has been extremely faithful with me as He's walked along this journey every step of the way with me.
You know, a lot of women have those same exact questions that you just held, that you just said, and that you have in your heart. And are you still discerning if you have a vocation?
No, I'm no longer. I'm no longer doing that. But God has really worked in through that time in my life.
Wow. So what brought you to do women's ministry? Because I know how involved you are in this big conference that they're having up in Canada that I'm speaking at. How did you get there? Like, what brought you to want to help other women?
Yes. It's a funny story, actually. So myself, Rika, and Maria, we've all been friends for quite some time now. And we've been involved in different forms of ministry together. At one point, we were doing youth ministry. Another point, young adult ministry. A few years ago, there was a stretch of time where we went out and started attending different women's conferences and women's retreats throughout Canada. And we just saw the fruit of it in our spiritual life, also in just deepening our friendship and also just the community that came from these gatherings. And we all came back and we asked the question, why don't we have that here in our hometown in Calgary? Why isn't there an annual women's retreat where women can come and be fed spiritually and also grow in community and fellowship with each other? And so it was actually Rika's husband who encouraged us, and he was like, if you see a need, why don't you guys fill that need? Why don't the three of you go ahead and start a ministry that can fill this gap that you're noticing? From there, that's how our ministry formed.
That's beautiful. And there's so many women right now listening, Jessica, that feel that small, still voice and nudge on their heart, but they're scared and they're like, well, I couldn't do something like that. Or somebody else is going to do it. It's not me, but I'll join it. You know, when God's like, no, you need to lead it and start it. But they're afraid and they don't know how. But what I have learned, and I know you've experienced, that if you just say yes to Jesus and you just start walking forward in his will, he provides it. He opens the doors. And if you ladies out there listening see a need and God is nudging you to fill it, I really encourage you to muster up that courage, pray. And if God is calling you there, to go.
I think though, God has shown time and time again that he will provide the means. Like you said, he will provide the people, the resources, everything that's needed to meet that prompting that he's placed in your heart. And with that can come temptations and challenges, because this work is not of us. It's of God. And whenever we're doing God's work, the devil is not happy. But God is faithful, and his will always triumphs above all else.
I love it. That is beautifully said. For women out there that may be struggling and are having a hard time in their faith, or are just tired of it, or they're not making progress, or they maybe are struggling with a vocation that they may be scared of, you know, mm-hmm. What do you have to say to them?
I would say that God sees you and he knows you and he loves you. And all the deepest desires of your heart that you've been searching for through things or through other people, God desires to fill that in abundance more than you can ever imagine. And that if anything is coming to the surface that you might be afraid of, or anything that may feel hurtful or painful just because maybe a past memory or a wound is coming up, God, he always brings those things up only to fill you with his mercy and with his tenderness. It's not to hurt you or to shame you, but to fill that need, to fill that desire, to heal it so that you can be transformed and that you can receive his love in a deeper way than you had ever before.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. That's going to help a lot of women out there. And I am so excited to come up and see you and be a part of the event that you're putting on out there, and to help all of the women that are in your parish. And ladies, that's really all it takes, is just saying yes to Jesus, doing his will, and above all else, being right with God so you can hear his voice in the muck, right? We all have to be right with God. Is there anything you want to leave women with before we go?
I think that covers it. Just God is faithful. God is faithful, and he will see you through whatever it is you're going through, whatever you're struggling with. He is faithful and he loves you.
Thank you. That is beautiful. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, we are on to Maria Zine. Thank you for being here, Maria. I'm so glad that we found the time to do this, because it's been a little bit crazy, but so far so good, right?
Yes. If Jesus wants it, it'll happen.
That's right. That is the truth. No matter what, if Jesus wants it, it will happen. Now, have you always been a cradle Catholic?
That's actually a very good question. No, I have not. I actually come, my parents are both Antiochian Orthodox. So they come from the Orthodox Church, and I actually owe it to them for like the formation of like going to church on Sundays and being formed in the, because the Orthodox Church still has the sacraments. But yeah, no, I was not grown up. I did not grow up Catholic. I came to the Catholic Church 5 years ago. I made the profession of faith in the about 5 years ago on the feast of Our Lady of Assumption.
What made you do that?
So my journey, I've been journeying in the church for, I would say, since I was 20 years old with volunteering. Actually, Rika and Jessica play a huge role in my growth in the faith and my journey. We all have like really helped each other and grown with each other, and have been great witnesses as well. And that's why I really vouch for community and how important community is. But I was volunteering a little bit, and I went to Catholic school and the Catholic Church. And I never thought that I would really convert, to be honest, because I didn't think that there was a need, because I was, what mattered to me is being able to receive the Eucharist. And I was able to receive the Eucharist in the Catholic Church. However, as I was speaking to a close friend who's a priest here in Calgary, Father Cristino, he and Father Nathan played a role in my journey. And one time I went to go receive the Eucharist in the Catholic Church, and I felt like I wasn't saying a full yes to God in the church. And it wasn't anything against the Orthodox Church, because I truly do love the church, but I felt like I wasn't saying a full yes to the Catholic Church, and God was calling me to the Catholic Church. And so I really asked Mary to help me during this time, and I asked for her intercession, because I felt like I wasn't, I didn't have a close relationship with her. And so I felt it was fitting to do it in the summer on August 15th.
Wow. So what do you think that block was for you with the Blessed Mother? Because I know a lot of women struggle with that.
Yeah. I think everybody struggles with it, to be honest. Like, our Protestant brothers and sisters, too, they struggle. I don't know if it's because Jesus is mentioned so much in the Bible, and like his journey with the disciples and everything. And maybe like it's so beautiful because she's not significantly mentioned, but as well, like her presence in at the time she is in scripture is so powerful and beautiful. And she's such a, I think she's an amazing role model for us women, for especially in regards to purity, chastity, and just her grace and being able to suffer well. Mm-hmm. So I think that like that's what really drew me to her, is especially in times of in times where I did feel really down and lonely and like question God, I thought it was very fitting to try to turn to our mother.
I like how you say that. She suffered well. And yes. You know what? I've never heard it phrased that way. And maybe I have, and it kind of blew over my head. But it's true, we don't suffer well. And yeah. She is a perfect role model of that. And I always tell my kids, don't you understand that the devil is afraid of the Blessed Mother? Like, he is terrified of her because she is crushing his head, his skull, and he is scared of her.
Yes, I used to struggle so much with praying the rosary. And now I look forward to it so much, like going on a walk or like before bedtime. Like I love praying the rosary now, because I didn't grow up praying the rosary. So it was more in my like 20s that I like really started getting into it.
And I just, it is a weapon. This is like one of our greatest weapons to use.
I used to struggle and get angry while I was saying the rosary and be like, I don't want to do this right now. But okay, I'm going to do it. And I push myself and push myself. But I finally realized I actually had to ask for the grace too, to want and desire to pray the rosary. And once I started doing that, it was so much easier for me to pick that rosary up and to get through it. So how did you start living out your faith, and how much did your life really change once you embraced the Catholic faith?
So for me, it wasn't like one moment or event that like converted me, or I've always like grown up in the Christian faith, but and I had morals and values, but I felt like it's been a slow, gradual process for me. Took, you know, like what they taught in religion class and everything. And I volunteered here and there, but it changed, and just like, so my community really helped in that and supported that. And also, the priests, like their witness was such a great influence for me. And I'm so thankful for that in Calgary.
You know, one thing I'm really finding is that people always used to say, oh, in my community, I'm getting this, or my community, it's helped me with that. And I never really understood or embraced that, because I've always almost been a loner, just because I've always been so busy, and just ministry and kids and so much happening, that I think now that my kids are a little bit older and they're in school or a little preschool they go to, you know, that I have time and I actually have a community. And every Friday I go to this woman's group, right? This book group. And it has been transformative to me. Like, I actually understand now when they say community and how it can help and how it can lift you up and you have support there. But it's so true, and that it really is a gift from God, and to experience that, right?
Yes.
Working and praying and moving together almost as a unit in the church to help one another.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes women want to bring each other down, but we should also use our emotion. Like, it's okay that we're emotional, or that like we're able to express ourselves in different way than men are. And we should be thankful for this and proud of what God has given. Like, this is a gift from him. So it's so beautiful when women do come together and are able to show one another and support one another in their different like states of life.
What made you want to work in women's ministry and help women?
Firstly, it's funny because we're Canadian, but I did actually attend SEEK in 2019 in Phoenix. You were probably there, Kristalina.
Probably. I either was there or I was having a baby. It's one or the other. You know, that's just the state of my life back then.
Yeah, and I saw Jason. I remember Jason speaking. But I remember the young professional, because I was a young professional at the time, and they had like a little like segment for them as well. And they were discussing how to bring your church back, like bring it back to life, and like what you should be doing to start groups, and like what does your church need. And so when I went back and I was discussing this with some of my friends, with Jessica, with Rika, and I'm sure Rika maybe mentioned that her husband also played a role in this as well. And he was telling us, her husband, who's Matt, he was telling us that you guys should really plan something for women in the city, just because the men have their own conference every year, but the women, you guys don't have a conference, like a yearly conference. And so the Calgary really needs that. And we all agreed, and we were on the same page that we just don't want it to be geared towards young professionals or university students. We want this to be for women, all women of all ages. Like, we can't stress that enough, because we can all offer each other something. Doesn't matter if you're 20 years old or you're 80 years old. We're all in this together, and like a community, learning from each other.
That's beautiful. And you know what? I love that You're like, it doesn't matter your age. There's no limit on this. I was speaking at this Eucharistic Congress, right? And Maria, this was just, it was so hilarious to me because I'm on stage and I see everyone, but they're all looking up at me. And when I said, okay, ladies, there is no excuse. I don't care how old you are, that you, God has a purpose, a mission, and a plan. If you're young, if you're old, don't let that be the excuse. And these women in the back, they were like just this row of them. They started cheering and raising their hands. And they all must have been over 80, right? And aww, they were just like, yeah, you know, it was just the cutest, amazing moment where it's like, that's right. We still have worth. We still matter. God has us here and we're going to do something with it. It was just this moment. And it was so beautiful.
That is.
But it's so sad because so many women just write themselves off. Like, I can't do anything anymore. I don't matter. And isn't that the lie the devil gives us almost our entire life? I realize I have struggled with, Kristalina, you really don't matter. You don't really have worth. Like, just sit down almost.
And that's
right?
The enemy speaking. Yeah.
Yes.
You need truth to be spoken to all of these women.
I want women to know that maybe that's something you will struggle with your entire life, but all like you just said, Maria, we counter that with God's truth. How have you experienced that in your own life?
People always ask me, when was the big moment where you came to Christ? But I think probably in my past relationships, I feel like there was so much good in them, but there is also a lot of brokenness and, it made me really reflect on my own brokenness and where I stand with God and my relationship with Him, and not in where my identity lies as well. And so I feel, because for example, something recently is like about a year ago, I was engaged and that didn't go through. And that taught me so much. It was very painful, but it was also good. And it was a gift from God. As hard as it, at the time I couldn't see that, but later, through healing and through just so much prayer with God, He just showed me how loved I am and how much mercy I really experienced His mercy through that whole experience.
Right. We look at our suffering sometimes and we're in the thick of it. And we just feel the pain and we don't understand certain things. And we come to our own conclusions sometimes even that are false. And God is really right there. And He wants all of us, when we are suffering and going through those times, to really invite Him in. Because He really is the one that can walk you through that darkness, but properly get you on the other side. Because sometimes when people are going through suffering and even something like what you experienced, you could come out of that bitter, angry, resentful, hating men, thinking love is non-existent, and you can even transfer that over to your relationship with God, right? And it'd be so easy to do that. But the flip side of that is like God walked with you through that. God was there with you through it. And you are stronger in Him and your relationship, it sounds like, because of that suffering. It's a hard thing. And there's women that really relate to you right now that have had their hearts broken, engagements thrown away, and they feel like they were thrown away. But at the end of the day, God was really saving them. They weren't being thrown away. God was protecting them, right?
Yes,
but some of them, it's hard for them to see. So because you've experienced that, what do you have to say for women right now that maybe had to end an engagement or their engagement was ended and that's not what they wanted, but it's happening? What do you have to say to them? Because they're really hurting.
Firstly, that God loves you. Like, He loves you so much. And your identity lies in Him. You are a beloved daughter, and you need to go to Him in all your suffering and pain. He doesn't don't feel like you can't be raw and with your emotions and all that you're experiencing. If you need to scream, if you need to cry, if you need to like he wants all of you. So I think that just being honest, and also the time, like when they say time heals, it's true. It really does. And it's okay that we feel this way. Our feelings are valid. This was something good that didn't work out, and that God what is truly acting. And it's beautiful because he, just like you said, he saved us from something that wasn't for us. So that man is meant for another woman, and you are meant for another man or something greater. And God wants our ultimate happiness. So if we want ultimate happiness, we should trust that he will fulfill that.
That is beautiful. Just give it to Jesus. He wants the good, he wants the bad, and he wants the ugly parts of us, not just this perfect, pristine, holy saint. Yes, that's what we're all just kind of striving for, right? At the end of our lives.
Yes.
But it's messy. And I'm going to reiterate this again, and I've said this on past shows. I wish someone would have told me how hard it was going to be to love Jesus and to have a relationship with Jesus and to be faithful to my Catholic faith. Because like you've experienced, it's a battle. It's hard. It's not this cake, just saccharine walk that we live. And it's hard. And there's good times, there's bad times. And through it all he asks us to do is be faithful. And he promises us he's going to be there. He's going to catch us.
Yep. If anything that I could describe on this journey is like gratitude, because he's been nothing but good in each day. And it helped me to see like the little small things, whether it's at work or with talking with my friends or family, the good things, to just continuously praise him for the good that he's doing in our lives. Because God is doing good. It might be hard for people to dig that up, especially when they're like feeling low, but he's doing a lot of good, and we need to praise him for that as well.
That's right. And I heard this quote from, I think it was a preacher, someone, where he says, you know, he doesn't want your past. He will beat you up with it. He will constantly remind you of it, but he wants your future. And so thank you for your witness. Thank you for your story. And thank you for being willing to share it with everyone. And also for having the courage to put on this conference, to reach out in your community and to help women the way that you are.
Thank you. God bless you, Kristalina, and your ministry as well. And we look forward to seeing you here in Calgary.
Woo woo! I'm coming soon, honey. I'm coming soon. So God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye.
I want to thank my guests again for being here and for their courage and their honesty and just listening to that small, still voice. You can just change people's lives by just saying yes to God and doing what he's asking you to do. And with that being said, I will be in Alberta, Canada, May 4th at the Beloved Daughters Ministry Conference that they are having. And this year's theme is called Worthy and Made New. So come and join me for the day for just restoration, starting over, and setting some time aside with Jesus. And if you want information about this event, you can go to my Instagram page and go in my bio, and there should be a link there directing you straight where you can buy tickets and more information. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Know you are in my prayers, and I'll see you next week. God bless.